I rewrote the book a couple years ago because I noticed that our grief starts, because we're human, our grief starts when we get that awful diagnosis that we know, well, that's not going to be a good ending. Like the end is in sight, or they start to go downhill physically. And so I took it and said, let's start looking at mindsets that we can focus on, stuff about gratitude and ways of still seeing the good and being there for our beloved animals through that process. So it was a very hard book to write, and I loved writing it at the same time, strangely enough.
Welcome to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building genuine, lasting relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. I'm your host, Candice Rodarte. If you love listening to interviews with grateful entrepreneurs who are making this world a better place, be sure to subscribe, share, and leave your groovy review. Today, I'm joined by retired Navy officer and intuitive animal communicator, Mary Beth Decker. Mary Beth is the founder of Sacred Grove, where people and pets heal and connect. She works with pet guardians who dearly love their animals yet face tough issues. She uses her intuitive animal communication and energetic healing skills to address animals' physical, emotional, and behavioral issues. Mary Beth is especially gifted in helping pets and their people move gracefully through transitions into the family, into a new family, or onto the next life. Welcome, Mary Beth.
Thanks, Candice. I'm glad to be here.
I've got to know, how did you get from Navy officer to animal communicator? What's your story?
Oh, yes. For me, it's pretty surprising. I was not born an animal communicator, and I have some friends who have abilities that are quite awesome, and they showed up at an early age, but that's not me. So I had to think for a while to say, what is the connection? How did I do that? I think what I know about having joined the Navy and spent time in a good number of different places is my mind, I think, expanded. You know, when you're stationed with people from all over the US, even that's something new. When you understand what that in the South, bless your heart, is not has many meanings. A girl from all over New York
It
doesn't get it.
it doesn't mean what you think it means.
No, it does not. And bless her heart is so cool. But stuff like that. Then starting to live outside of the continental US. Spent time in Japan, in Puerto Rico, Hawaii, visited a lot of different countries. My mind expanded about, you know, how the world works. There's so many different ways of seeing the world. People have different words in their language that we don't even have in English for stuff. I think that started it for me, and just getting that sense that the world is a bigger place than what I thought it was. And then after I retired and I was working for an association, I got the intuitive hit, which is how I would say it now, to learn massage, which has actually got a real intuitive part to it, because you're using your hands and your body and your quietness to start to pick up what's needed in the person you're working with. Then I got to be a Reiki master, energy healing master, and learn some wonderful techniques and modalities from that. And then my animals started communicating with me. I was shocked. My dog, Timmy, who had passed, I'm not sure how long ago, before I saw him, was sitting in the dining room while I was making dinner for the kids. And my joke is, it wasn't a good dinner. What happened with Timmy was much better than what I was going to feed the kids. But he was there, and he looked like he was physically present. And so I switched over. I was like this. I looked at him. I said, "Timmy," and he disappeared. But I knew he really had shown up, and he survived death, and he was happy. And that experience was just amazing. And I continue to have these kinds of experiences, Candace. And when my guy Tibor started sending me visions of his life before we adopted him, and he had a rough life, I finally said to my friend Mary, "What the heck? What's going on?" And she says, "That's animal communication." And I'm like, I'm hooked. I'm communicating with the animals, and the people that are bringing them, they love their animals enough to bring them to an animal communicator and find out what's going on. So that's the short version of how I got here.
What you did was you took something that you were passionate about and you turned it into your profession.
I did.
So, what did that look like?
Well, it took a little while. Let's see. I first had to accept that this was something I was really passionate about. And having a coach, I found a coach that was really good. And she sat me down and said, "What makes your heart go pitter-patter?" That might have not have been the right words, but it's like, where does your heart lie? You do this, you do this, you do this, you do this. You got all these things you do. Where's your heart? And I said, it's with the animals. She says, "That's where to go." And that's really what started me moving that direction and to see if I could use my communication and my medical intuition and healing skills for animals and the people in their lives. So it's interesting. You say, well, when did you become an animal communicator? Well, in about 2008, my animals started communicating with me. So you could say that was when. But the shift over to doing it full time happened probably in the, I don't know, probably about 2016, 17, somewhere around there. I said, no, this is it. This is where I'm headed. And so I needed guidance, but I took the advice too and listened. I learned how to listen to my heart and do that.
So what were the step? I mean, this is you, the work that you do is not mainstream. So did you take a mainstream approach to building your business, or did you just follow your heart for the whole thing?
I did take a mainstream approach. I asked, well, what do I do? How do I get my name out there? And how do I let people know? And so I decided to find a get a website and get that going and start. I loved writing, so I wrote blogs. I asked for testimonials, put them on the website. I went to kind animal. There's like animal fairs here in the Washington, D.C. area, you know, pet things. And I went there and I showed up there. And I was lucky enough to get a connection with the Veterinary Holistic Center here in my area. And so I got on their website and we were very good referral partners, still got that going. And also, what I found is the heart-centered relationships were what was most important to my growth and learning how to listen and also be that person for both the animals and for their people. And that was more personal growth, along with the, how do you say it, you know, get myself out there on the internet stuff.
So you're in the DC area and but the work that you do, I'm assuming you can do it internationally.
I can. I counted it up and I think 8 different countries in addition to the US. My latest was the Czech Republic, which was a couple and their two kittens. It was great. So if you can speak English, you know, we can work together.
I want to take a 90-degree turn here. Not 180, but a 90-degree turn, and talk about your work as a naval officer. Because first of all, thank you for your service. I am the child of a career Department of the Army employee, so I lived the life of a Army brat. Even though I'm not, my father wasn't an officer; he was a civilian. But we live the same lifestyle that my Army brat friends live. So I call myself an Army brat. So I have a sincere and deep appreciation for our military. That being said, one of my favorite things about military service is exactly what you said at the beginning. You are thrown into a mix with people from different cultures. And in the United States military, different cultures is huge. We have a lot of Filipinos that serve in our military. We have a lot of Puerto Ricans, and Puerto Ricans are Americans, but we have a lot of people from other countries who come here and serve in our military. And so it's a fantastic melting pot, but it's also a lesson in, do you want to finish that sentence?
No, I'm too nervous to hear what you're going to say. I've heard all kinds of things from people about the military.
Humility, compassion, and learning how to get along with each other.
Okay, there you go. Thank you.
Can I tell you, I want to tell you a joke because I'm going to tell you the joke. I want to share this joke because I'm compelled. I believe in following your promptings, and I have a prompting to tell you a joke. So two Southern Belles have just graduated from college. And the first Southern Belle says to the second Southern Belle, "My sugar daddy, he bought me this diamond ring for my graduation." And the second Southern Belle says, "Well, how nice. And my sugar daddy, he bought me a Mercedes Benz for my graduation." "Well, how nice. And my sugar daddy, he's taking me to Paris for my graduation." "Well, how nice. And what, pray tell, did your sugar daddy give you for your graduation?" "My sugar daddy, he sent me to refinishing school." "Refinishing school? Why, whatever did you learn in refinishing school?" "I learned how to say, well, how nice, instead of screw you." That is what bless your heart means. Anyway, I was prompted to tell that story because, it goes hand in hand with what you learn in the military. You learn to say the right thing to the right, you know. Just share a little bit about that? I want for the audience.
Well, I don't know how far we can go with this because I learned the super art of swearing to a level. I came home from officer candidate school and my mother is like, "Oh," I said, well, certainly I have changed. Because everything I'm thinking about is not the PG-13 you'd think of. But like my first duty station, I'll ask people to look it up. Over the senior chief's office were the letters Bohica, which was saying, I won't say it. I don't know if I can because
you can say it. I'll edit. Okay. I'll bleep it if I need to.
Yeah, all right. Bend over. Here it comes again. And I'm like, this is my first duty station, and there it is. Well, my, that's a really good sense of humor. But it's and of course the response to your superior officer is generally yes sir, yes sir, three bags full, and behind that is a little bit full of shit. But there is the give and take that actually occurs. But there is a lot of swearing and a lot of funny stuff that go on. My first husband and my current husband were both sailing in ships. And some of the stories they told me about what they did to just have fun on deployment. Like my current guy was talking about, they're in heavy seas. And so there'd be a spot that was kind of like an elevator shaft, except it had stairs. And it had the stairs that the ladder rungs. They would jump into midair as the ship was going up. And so then they'd grab the ladder like two stories down. I'm not saying two decks down and like wave at their buddies. And I'm like, holy cow, you guys, you're nuts. So a lot of fun stuff there.
Yeah. Wait, I mean, you're on the ship.
To them, yeah. They're just having a great time.
There is a submarine here, and I live in Muskegon, Michigan, and in the Great Lakes, they built a lot of World War II subs and ships because it was surrounded by, you know, land, so it was safer to build the ships in the Great Lakes than it would have been to build them on the coast during World War II. And so we have a lot of World War II ships and submarines and stuff in the Great Lakes that people can tour. So there's a submarine here in town, and my husband and I were really hesitant to get inside of it because it was a choppy day that day. And the sub was doing this, and we'd be like, oh. But then we got inside of it, and like the mess hall was, 10 feet by 10 feet, and supposedly 20 people could eat in there at the same time. And the beds were literally on top of the torpedoes, and you would rotate in. One person would be sleeping and the other one would be working, and then they would switch back, and then somebody else would be sleeping on the cots. And it was just, I mean, and they stayed for, could have been 6 months on
Yeah,
these
hot
boats.
bedding. Yeah,
I mean,
I guess because the bed never cools off because there's always a warm body in
I have so much respect for these guys.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing. And what I also loved is it's almost the words are the can-do attitude. When you're on a ship, you can't just run over to Walmart and get that part you need. You got to figure it out. And the fact that there's the mentality of making it work, working together, jury rig if you got to, but get the job done. I really admired that. And everybody worked together to make things work. And I think felt like thinking out of the box a lot of times. I understand the regimented viewpoint people see in the military, but there's also the camaraderie of the group getting it done. And that's amazing to me.
I used to know a gentleman who was an engineer on a nuclear sub, and he worked for an oil and gas company, and he was like, if I could be an engineer on a nuclear sub, I can do anything, right? So he really did have, when he got out of the military, he was like, I can do whatever I want. If I can be an engineer, a nuclear engineer on a nuclear sub, I can do anything. And so he went to work for an oil and gas company. A nuclear engineer went to work for an oil and gas company. What is that telling us about the future? It's not
That's
necessary.
true.
The oil and gas companies know it's not oil and gas.
That's it. That's it. You're well, that's kind of,
Yeah, and that was a 180. I told you it was only going to go 90, but I went 180. Okay,
That
so
was
all of that life experience you have, I mean, you lived in Japan, you lived in all these different places, all that life experience brought you back to Washington, D.C. is where you live now. Obviously, that means that you weren't just an officer, you were an officer. You know what I'm saying?
Dude,
I'm gonna make an
yeah, I
assumption
do.
there. No, having the life experience that I have, I'm gonna assume. So, and now you're doing this. So
Yeah.
what surprised you about this transition? I mean, that's a huge transition. So what surprised you the most about it?
Honestly, I had intuitive skills I hadn't noticed for what, like 45 years. Oh my God.
But did you didn't notice them, but you had them.
I must have had, let's see. Here's what I know. Here's my theory. We all got it. I was listening to one of your podcasts where you were talking about said a guy who said we got talents or we can skills. So I was thinking about that. I believe we all have the wiring for intuition. We are set up for it. It's all there between our mind and our brain and our body. We're all
Yeah,
wired
I
for it.
call them promptings.
Yeah. And some of us hear them and know the promptings, and some of us just make decisions that you go, that was pretty good, you know? And then after a while, you kind of go, I kind of said, there's something more going on here. I have intuitive skills. I have medical intuition. I can actually pick up what animals, are sharing with me. And the animals are like, duh, you human race, when are you going to come and join us? We've been doing this forever and a day.
We had a kitten just 10 or 15 years ago, and it was dark, and it blended in with a rug in our entryway, the rug that led to my husband's office. And he accidentally stepped on this kitten, and she spent 2 or 3 days under the bed where we could not get to her. I mean, we would have had to lift up, but we have an adjustable bed that's Tempur-Pedic, so moving the bed was not an option. And so I just shoved water under there, made sure she had food, and kept checking on her. And when she was ready, she came out and she was running around like a kitten, you know, but she went into heal. She went, yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, there was nothing when she came out, there was nothing wrong with her. I mean, I knew that if there was something wrong with her, she'd be howling or dead. Right. But you know, my intuition was to just let her be. Right. And, but yeah, she knew exactly what she needed. She was a kitten and she knew exactly what she needed to do to feel better.
Yeah.
And great. Then after that, her best friend was not my husband. And I don't think she ever slept in the middle of the carpet again. Yeah. But yeah, cats just know. They do. They know what to, like, when I had another cat. I'm a cat person. I had a cat many, many years ago when I lived alone and I was single and, I got really sick, and that cat, who was not an indoor cat, she was an outdoor cat. She spent 2 days laying in bed with me to make me feel better.
I've heard that story a lot. I know my cat. I'll tell mine story if I just to
give. Oh, absolutely! You storytelling is why you need to be on shows.
I love this. So, from my daughter. I got her two cats from college when she graduated and went to, I believe, India. So I got the two cats, Mac and Bunny, both white cats, one with a tail. Mac got the tail and Bunny got the little bunny tail. Mac passed away in November of 2022. He used to sleep by my head. Bunny has now moved over to sleep by my head. And I do believe it's to comfort us both. Like we just need to know what we're doing. We need to know that we're going to make it, even though it's been a year, over a year. I'm getting a little sad here. But she's there for me and I'm there for her. We went through some rough times there where she almost forgot about, like, where does she poop? Oh, yeah, I've got a litter box. Yeah, okay, good. Where's my friend? Where are my three friends? Because we lost two dogs within a month of each other.
Oh, man.
The cat. But we made it through together. And she was very comforting for me. And I think I was doing the same thing. And I know I was doing the same thing for her.
Okay. So you know how on YouTube, sometimes your feed ends up being a lot of videos about weird things?
Yeah.
For the longest time, my feed was cat videos that use buttons to communicate. It just, and I would, you know, you get sucked into it. Anyway, there's this cat, Sammy, that lives in Europe somewhere. Or maybe the cat's not Sammy. Sammy's the cat that died. Anyway, this cat was communicating through the buttons that Sammy smell, the cat that had passed away, the smell was gone. Sammy smell gone. And you know this, I'll find the video, y'all, and post it in the show notes. But this cat actually identified that the smell from his friend was no longer in the house.
Wow! Yeah, yeah.
Just
I'm not surprised, but I'm loving the fact that he was able to communicate that.
Yeah, and it's, you know, a lot of people think these cat buttons are stupid, and dogs do it too. There's cat and dog buttons, but I mean, cats are smart. My cat knows exactly how to tell me to feed it.
yep. And I have a fun thing where I just call them in my mind sometimes, like, where are you? Come on, sleep on the bed. And, you know, 10 minutes later, one of them will pop up and hang out with me. And
a cat will do that because, you know, cats usually do whatever they want to do.
They do. But they love me. And sometimes they listen because they love me.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, ours like to look out the window, but we don't have the right kind of windowsills for a cat. If the window's open, the cat can sit in the window. But when in the wintertime, we can't open the window. So the windowsill's too low. And man, our cats were really wanting to look out the window. I mean, we could just tell. So we put a chair by the window so they could actually sit on the back of the chair and look out the window. Like, well, you have a little ledge right there behind you, and which is probably what we need to do. But I mean, they were telling us that that's what they wanted us to do.
There you go.
So
There you go.
I totally get what you're saying here. It seems a little hokey. You know, I just love when things that just don't seem like they could possibly be real prove themselves.
What I'd say to people is, if you think your cat or dog ever just said blah 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 blah, they did. You picked it up. Just say, wow, that's cool. Let's do more of this.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Are we
why
listening?
doubt?
Are we
Are you
listening?
listening?
If you listen well enough, you can figure out, like, we have a water bowl that's in a room that I never go into, but you have to have water upstairs and downstairs. So we have a water bowl in a room I never go into, but that's the only place we can put it that makes sense. So they always tell me when it's empty, you know? I know when it's empty 'cause they tell me. They have their way. They just know how to communicate.
They do.
And I know that cat, I mean, my, I know that m our cat Shade mourned when Muffy, our dog, died. I mean, he was in mourning. I have no doubt that he was missing that dog. No doubt at all. He was really lonely for that dog.
Yeah,
So we got him a cat.
you got him a cat.
We
Okay.
got him.
Well, we did the opposite, because the two dogs passed, and then my cat Mac too. So Tibor and Stella and Mac went, and my two remaining cats, Shadow and Bunny, they were like, where are the dogs? We need dog energy.
Yeah.
So we got a couple new dogs too for them and us.
Yeah.
But you do, you can feel it if you're paying attention.
Yeah, we often wonder why we didn't, we often rem not, I don't want to say regret, but think that maybe we should have gotten Shade another dog rather than a cat. But the two cats seem to get along great. So it was a really strange dynamic there for a little bit. So we had three cats, Shade, Snow, and Luna. We got Snow because Shade was lonely. And then our daughter decided that she wanted to take a cat to college. So she took Snow to college because he's the one that has the better temperament. And then Shade was lonely again. So we got Luna. And then Snow passed away last Christmas. God, that was hard. That was really hard. But they just sort of, and then Luna went to college. Luna ended up being the one that went to college. But now Luna and Shade live with us. Snow passed away, and our daughter doesn't have any cats because she can't have any cats at grad school. But just the dynamic of how quickly they figured out who was who. And Luna and Snow just didn't get along, and Luna was always trying to be king of the castle, and even though she's a girl, you know,
Doesn't
and that,
matter.
you know, and that Snow and Shade were really good friends, and they would do really cute things. Like, I swear, every time I took a picture of them, it would have been a cover of an album from the 1980s. They were just so hilarious. And then when Snow passed away, Luna really started to comfort Shade, you know, because she knew that he was missing him. So it's
Sweet.
just, you know, it's just. And the dynamic between Shade and Luna is different now.
Yeah.
You know, it's so interesting. This is a
It
weird
is.
conversation.
It not it is no, not in my
It
life.
happens to you all the time. What are you talking about on your business podcast? All right, I want to hear some advice that you have for people who want to start an outside the box business like this. Because I don't think there's even, I mean, how many people do what you do?
There's more and more of us, but it's certainly not as many as there are accountants or, whatever.
I almost spit my coffee out.
Oh, sorry. I was just doing my taxes, getting stuff for the, so that was on my mind.
Oh my
But,
God. We are in the process of closing a corporation in another state, and we started, you know, we incorporated in the state we live in now. And that process, the paperwork process is just, it's been 25 years since we incorporated our other business. So it's I forgot how much work was involved. There's so much work. And then I have to close the other business, which, you know, would think that you just close a business, right? We're done. No, there's paperwork, a lot of it.
No kidding.
Anyway, sorry. Go on with your taxes. Sorry, that was a complete that was a complete tangent. Anyway, sorry.
That was fun. So what was the part? My advice would be, if you're like me and you always worked for somebody and that paycheck just showed up all the time, you probably want to find you want to find a coach. If this works for you, find somebody who is somehow resonates with you. I mean, there are many kinds of coaches and they have different philosophies of how to get you there. And what I do believe is that we are, there are a lot of different kinds of entrepreneurs and we have different energies and different ways. And find somebody that, use your intuition to find somebody that that you can really trust and listen to what they're telling you and start to build it yourself. Find your own voice though. And that's probably true in anything, but I think that we each have our, they talk about niche, but I like the words like our own purpose, our own flavor of what we do. And as you find that and you start to share that, that helps you find the people that you want to work with the most. And get yourself out there with the various online or offline stuff that really works for you. You know, I tried short Instagram stuff and I can do it, but boy, it takes a lot out of me. Having a nice conversation with you, Candace, that works so much better for me. So that's, you know, that's where I'm going.
Yeah, I've learned that that's my thing too, is that I just communicate better like this. The hardest thing in the world for me is sending an email. I do not like crafting emails. I would just rather have a conversation.
Right.
So right. It's all hard. So I actually know a couple, if not three, coaches who specialize in transitioning from military to civilian.
Ah, damn.
I know, it's the riches are in the niches, man.
Yeah.
And you know, of course they are, these coaches are people who've actually done the work themselves. And but if you are in the military and you are ready to retire and you want to transition to civilian life, because you know, I'm sorry, but 20 years in the military means that you're 40 when you retire, you know, so that you have a lot of life left after that.
You do.
You know, so your second half could be huge. You know, having lived the life that I lived, I also know a lot of people who have retired from the military because, you know, if you grow up in that lifestyle, those are the people you know. Right.
Yes.
And it's so interesting to see the work that my friends are doing now that had careers in the military. You know, you are the most exceptional of all of them because yours is so different. But, you know, there's some really groovy jobs out there for people who have that experience.
Yeah.
And there are some coaches who can help you do that. So if you are a listener, if you are in a position where you are ready, I do know some people. So please feel free to contact me. You can do that through gratitudegeek.com and I can connect you with a coach who can help you. I'm not the coach for you. I am a coach, but not that coach. And that's the thing about the niches. I know you hate that you don't like the word niche, that you prefer other ways of saying it, but it I mean, my specialty is helping female solopreneurs who've had something crappy happen to them. That's my niche, you know? And so if it's somebody who had retired from the military came to me and said, hey, I want to find a career in corporate America, I'd be like, let me help you find a coach. Because <You know? laughs> I'm not the one for you.
It's cool that you know that though.
Well, you know. But that goes back to what you just said about knowing what you can do. I mean, that's exactly what you just said, right?
I just
said it in a different way.
So
when you found your coach, how did you know? I mean, did you just intuit that it was the right one for you, or did the coach that you have specialize in your niche?
Well, I went to one of the free offerings and listened to what, when you listen to the words, which But I also listened to the nonverbals. We all can, if we're, we can all do this. Like, does it resonate? And looking around at the people who are already working, they're already working with, does that feel like it's real? And are things hitting you in the place that I feel like it's like in the heart, in the gut, sometimes in the head, but it's got to go deeper for me. That's who I am. And then you go, yeah, they're addressing and they're telling me how they can help me move forward, because I got no clue. I got no clue. I know how to work for other people. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how to run my own business. I have theories, but I have no practice.
But you figured it out now, haven't
I believe I have.
you?
Yes. Yeah.
Good
Yeah.
thing is, if you do the work right, you can hire people to do the stuff you can't figure out. If you're really good at what you do, you can figure hire people to figure out how to do the stuff you're not good at.
And I do. I've got some folks who do some really cool, post some really great stuff for me, and keep stuff going on social media, because that would drain me
Yeah.
if I had to be proficient on a daily basis in that area.
I had someone assume, I've had multiple people assume that because I was helping people do DIY marketing, that I was good at social media, or that I could so manage social media for them. And I'm like, no, nope, I don't even manage my own social media. That's not what I mean by marketing at all. That's social media management, and that's not what I do. Not my niche. So again, identifying what you're good at. So is there anything that we haven't talked about that you want to talk about?
We did talk about animals passing, and I wrote a book, so I'd like to talk about that for a bit. My book is Peace in Passing: Comfort for Loving Humans During Animal Transitions, and it never gets easier. That's my knowledge. When we lose our beloved animals, we don't find the formula that keeps us from feeling the intense grief and any other things that come up, like regret and worry about choices we made. And the other part that I rewrote the book a couple years ago, because I noticed that our grief starts, because we're human, our grief starts when we get that awful diagnosis that we know, well, that's not going to be a good ending. Like, the end is in sight, or they start to go downhill physically. And so I took it and said, let's start looking at mindsets that we can focus on, stuff about gratitude and ways of still seeing the good and being there for our beloved animals through that process. So it was a very hard book to write, and I loved writing it at the same time, strangely enough.
So you rewrote it recently. When did you first publish it?
2015, I was no 2017, and I rewrote it. It got published early in 2022.
Wow. And so
Yeah.
what, so the first time you wrote the, when you first wrote it, you were self-published, and now it's and you're
Yeah, a friend of mine's a publisher, and so I got it through her, with her this time around.
So
Yeah.
talk about that process of, because there are, you know how many people listening right now are going, oh, how did she do that? I want to do that.
Well, there, you first have something that you want to share. Like, you just know it's something that's really good. I love the fact of having a publisher, because the copywriting and the editing, and also keeping me on track to get the darn thing done, was very helpful. And giving advice on how to get the book out in various venues, and being, let's see, I'm hoping this is helpful. But because you got to write it, and you got to keep writing it, and you got to write it till you finish, and then you got to rewrite it, and you got to rewrite it again. You need some support there. If you, that really helped me. And also having somebody a different set of eyes looking at it and making sure that what we wrote is going to be understandable to somebody else. Because you think you're writing for others, but sometimes you're writing from your own mindset and you don't see that they're not going to get it. We need to massage. I'm going to use my massage. We need to massage this a little bit. So,
That's true. A lot of people, especially bloggers, they're writing for themselves.
yeah,
And then they think that they can turn their blog into a book, which has been done. I mean, there are
it's
people
been
who've
done.
turned their blogs into books, but I don't know how effective it is unless you have a
I'm
really good
not sure
editor.
either, right? Because it's gotta resonate with the person who's reading it, or you didn't give the value you hoped you were going to give people.
I have had so many people tell me that I need to write a book, and I'm like, I have 400 videos on YouTube. My life work is on YouTube. I don't need to write a book. If you want to know my story, watch one of my videos. That because that I will never write a book. I just won't. It's not going to happen. But there are people who have the mindset that you have to have one.
There is. It's really, yeah. I've heard that mindset probably last week. But see, I like to write. That's part of, you said you don't. I mean, even emails
Even emails, I can't stand it. Yeah.
are terrible. So I like to write. So there's a difference there. I get a pleasure out of putting words on paper because it clarifies where I wanted to go and things like that.
I think that my problem is that I'm a perfectionist. And so
Well,
I want to make sure that the grammar, and when you're speaking, it doesn't matter. I mean, I do not have good spoken grammar at all, but my written grammar has to be perfect. And if my participles are not in the right place, I'm like fussing over it, right? But you'd never know that by listening to me speak.
and so, well, that's where you got, so just to challenge you just a little bit, that's what you got copywriters and editors for, who will say, excuse me, is there another, can you work on this part? Because, or how about I'm going to change this for you. How does that read?
You want to hear
That
something
was
fun?
pretty good. Thank you.
So this morning I was in a networking meeting and I have a new iPhone. I've always had an Android. I've never had an iPhone before. And I had sent a text message to somebody, and when I looked down at my phone, there was this really long text, and I thought it was from her. And I realized that my phone had picked up me talking. And I looked at it and I went, hey, that's pretty good. And so I copied it and I pasted it somewhere else so that I could go back and read it later. It
All
basically picked up me talking about my business in a networking situation. And I was like, oh, I really need to go back and read that.
right. Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I don't know how to use my phone. I have no idea how that happened. How did my phone record me talking in a text message? And luckily, it didn't get sent.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, I don't know how to use my phone. And I'm constantly trying to do things that I would have done on my Android that don't work. I don't know. How long is it going to take me? How long is it going to take me to transition to this iPhone?
I get it. I haven't switched over because of that. I'm like, no, I got it figured out.
Yeah.
I think I'll just go
Well,
for it. There you go.
and the other thing is I used to be able to do texting from my computer. There's an app called Phone Link that connects Android phones to computers, and apparently it's supposed to work with Apple phones too, but it's not working for me. Hey, listener, if you know how to get Phone Link to work from an iPhone to a desktop computer, that would be really awesome. Thank you. Let me know. Okay, we need to wrap up. So this is your moment of gratitude. For whom or what are you most grateful?
I hope this will make people laugh. I was thinking about that. Thank you for giving me a heads up. I think I'm most grateful for my sweetheart sending me to the Navy recruiter to get rid of me because he was done with the relationship. And joining the Navy, which oddly enough helped me get sober. And when you make a major shift in your mid-20s like that, and you take, and I took all those 12 steps to heart, I think I went on another timeline that may not have been available. So the funny part is, drunk as a sailor, and yet I got sober in the Navy. Thank you for that. I am very grateful for that shift. And I think that all of the stuff that came after that probably started right there. So that's my gratitude.
Thanks for tuning in to Gratitude Geek, the relationship marketing podcast for micropreneurs building genuine, lasting relationships with clients, colleagues, and community. Our theme music is Track 14 by Rev Brock and Soul Lily. Make sure to visit gratitudegeek.com for all the groovy ways to connect with our guest, Mary Beth Decker. I've been your host, Candace Rudardi. Stay groovy, my friends.
Stay groovy, my friends.